Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the first feast of Esther, as we pick up in Esther chapter 5, verse 5. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, so that he may do as Esther has said." And so the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is your desire? What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Again, this magnanimous offer to Esther. And Esther answered and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said." I want you to come again tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll tell you what it is. So Haman went forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But as he went out, here was Mordecai in the king's gate, and he did not stand, he did not move, he just sat there. And so he was full of indignation against Mordecai. I mean, this just turned sour. Can't stand it, you know. Looking at him with disdain. So Haman refrained himself. He wanted to go home and go right over and grab him by the throat then and do him in. But he refrained himself. But when he came home, he called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And he told of all of the glory and the riches, the multitude of his children. "I have 10 sons, you know, and I have all of these riches. The king has honored me, put me second in command, you know, and I've got all of this. The king's promoted me. He's advanced me above all of the princes and the servants. And even Esther the queen didn't let anybody come with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself." I mean, man, I'm getting in with the whole network. "And tomorrow I'm invited unto her with the king again." I mean, I'm really big stuff. "Yet," he said, "all of this availeth me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew just sitting there at the king's gate." All of these blessings, all of this glory is totally dissipated by that little guy that sits out there. Isn't it interesting how that something can get under our skin and irritate us, and we just seem to forget all of the glorious blessings that God has given because we've allowed some little irritant to just be there, and it keeps us from enjoying all that God has done and all that God has provided. Oh, God, help us not to lose that joy because of some irritant. "Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends unto him, 'Look, why don't you build some gallows 75 feet high? And tomorrow you talk to the king about this Mordecai, that he might be hanged on this gallows.'" Man, when you go to the banquet, you know, you'll be so happy. There'll be nothing to spoil your joy because this little guy will be hung, strung up on that gallows, 75 feet high. "And the thing pleased Haman." And so right there in his own yard, he had this gallows made, 75 feet high. "Now, on that night, the king could not sleep, a God-inspired insomnia." I do believe that there is God-inspired insomnia. I believe that the Lord wakes me up on many occasions at night. And if I do wake up in the night, I just say, Lord, is there someone in need, special need, someone in trouble? And I use the time for intercessory prayer. Rather than cursing my sleeplessness, to just spend it with God. And it becomes precious time well spent in intercessory prayer and just worship and praise. The king couldn't sleep. And so he commanded that they should bring the book of the records of the chronicles of the kingdom that they might be read before the king. Could be that he couldn't read, or it could be that he just figured some fellow reading, you know, this kind of stuff would put him to sleep. The history and all, and as he read the account, maybe the, you know, just that voice droning on would help him to go back to sleep. And as he was reading to the king, it was found written that Mordecai had told of the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, who were the keepers of the door, who were going to try to assassinate King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and reward was given to Mordecai for informing me of this? Then said the king's servants that ministered to him, we slipped up, king. We didn't do anything. You know, it's an oversight. We goofed. Now, I can imagine that when Mordecai informed the king of the plot and there was no reward, he probably thought, that's a fine way to show appreciation. I saved the guy's life and, you know, he doesn't do anything. And it was, of course, a part of the whole Persian court to show favors by great rewards and so forth. And here Mordecai had done this deed of sparing the king's life. And he probably wondered, now, you know, why not, Lord? You know, why didn't he not give me something and all? But God's timing, God's purposes. And there are times when we don't understand why there wasn't a response. There wasn't what we were expecting. And why didn't God allow it to happen? I mean, it should have. I mean, it was very natural. And we question many times why God has brought us in this position or why God hasn't done this and that. But here now, insomnia, on this particular critical night. And the king said, who is out there in the court? Now Haman had come into the outer court of the king's house to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said to him, behold, it's Haman. He's standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what should I do to a man who I would like to show great honor to? Now Haman thought in his heart, who would the king delight to honor more than me? Look out for that ego. And Haman answered the king, for the man who the king would like to honor, delights in honoring, let royal apparel, the royal robes of the king, be brought, which the king himself is used to wear, and the horse upon which the king rides, and the royal crown which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and the horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delights to honor and bring him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Haman could see himself riding on the king's horse, wearing the king's robe and the king's crown, and one of the noblemen going before him in the street and all of the people, you know, going, ooh, ah, you know. Of course, in this, Haman is revealing what's in his heart. He is desiring the throne himself. He's desiring the honor and the glory of the throne. Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse as you have said, and do even so to Mordecai, the Jew that sits at the king's gate. And let nothing fail of what you have spoken." Remember when Joseph faced his brothers at the death of Jacob, their father? The brothers were now frightened. They figured, well, because of Dad, Joseph's been kind to us. But now that Dad is dead, he's going to get even for those cruel, wicked things we did to him. And so they came in bowing, doing obeisance and all, you know, to Joseph. And Joseph said, "Hey, fellas, knock that stuff off. I know that you intended it for evil, what you did, but God intended it for good." I love it the way that God turns things around. And things that were designed really to hurt or to harm, God will turn around for good. And I just love the way the Lord turns the tables on Satan so often. The Bible says, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper." This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. If you're a child of God, the Lord watches over you. And though there may be evil devices that are planned against you, God will reverse it. God will turn it for good, even as with Joseph. Of course, the most classic of all would be that of Jesus Christ himself, when Satan conspired to put him on the cross. But yet look at the blessings that God has brought out of the cross. Our salvation, our redemption. Satan intended it for evil, but God made it good. And so here is Haman. Man, how the tables turn. And he took him through the city and then brought him back to the king's gate. And he hurried as fast as he could to get home. Mourning, having his head covered. Man, I mean, he beat it for home just as fast as he could get home. I mean, this was it. And Haman told his wife Zeresh and all of his friends these things that happened to him. And then the wise men and Zeresh, his wife, said unto him, "Look, if Mordecai is one of those Jews, you're in big trouble, fellow. You will not prevail against him, but you will surely fall before him." And while they were still talking to him, I mean, before he had a chance to just fully recover, the king's chamberlains were there to hurry to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Now, if Esther was reluctant to tell the king about this decree, you see, she had not yet revealed the fact that she was a Jewess. He didn't know her national identity. And it could be that she was just reluctant. She didn't know how he was going to react, though he says magnanimous things like, "Ask me whatever you want to the half the kingdom." Yet when you really get down to it, you don't know what their reaction is going to be. And if indeed she, the day before, was just a little frightened and thought, "Well, I'll get another day," which would appear to be the only reason why she would delay it, it was interesting how that the Lord on that next day so exalted Mordecai that it no doubt gave her courage. I mean, she could see, hey, the Lord is already beginning to work. And it was probably a real encouragement to her as far as letting now her case be known before the king. Things are starting to turn our direction. The Lord is already at work, and she can see the hand of the Lord already at work. And so it no doubt gave her a lot of confidence and courage on the next day. So the king and Haman, verse 1 of chapter 7, came to the banquet which Esther the queen had prepared. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted to you. What is your request? It shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." And Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given to me at my petition, and my people at my request." So Queen Esther is begging for her very life and for the life of her people. For she said, "We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed." So this is the first time now the king realizes that she's a Jewess. But it is also the realization that he is the one who has sold him out, in a sense. For he accepted the bribe from Haman to write the decree that would eradicate these people. And so it's just like a ton of bricks falling on him when she is there crying and pleading for her life and the life of her people. "We've been sold out, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. If we had been sold for slaves," she said, "I'd be silent. I wouldn't do anything." Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, though I'm sure that he knew at this point just what it was all about, he said, "Who is he, and where is he that would dare to presume in his heart to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "The adversary and the enemy is that wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, angry and yet perturbed, because once a law had been signed with the king's signet ring, the law of the Medes and the Persians was that there could be no changing or altering of that law. Thus, the king of Persia was not an absolute autocratic monarch, as was, say, the king of Babylon, who could, you know, whom he would slay, whom he would keep alive. He did whatever he wanted, could change as often as he wanted. But not the Persian kings. They were subject to their own decrees once they had been signed and sealed with the signet ring. And so he sort of in a, you know, he gets up and he walks out into the garden and paces for a bit in the garden, you know, realizing, hey, I've been had by this guy Haman. And then secondly, no doubt trying to figure out how he could possibly countermand the decree that had gone forth. What can be done? According to the law of the Medes and Persians, you can't change or alter the decree. So probably trying to figure some solution in his mind. And so he, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman came over to Esther to plead for his life, for he saw that evil had been determined upon him by the king. He saw the king's eyes flashing and he realized, man, I've had it.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Esther in our next lesson. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Isn't it great to be a child of God? To have the affairs of your life ordered and directed by the Lord. To know that your life is in His hands. And He loves you, and He is watching over, and He is keeping you. And all things are working together for good, your good. Because you love God. And you can live with that kind of confidence. The purposes of God for my life are going to be fulfilled. And what is God's purpose for my life? That I should dwell with Him in the glories of His eternal kingdom. Oh, how glorious that is. To know that God loves me. Watching out for me. Taking care of me. But I want to be His instrument. I want to be sensitive. Who knows what God has in mind? Who knows what the future holds? We can only find out as we yield ourselves to serve Him, as we surrender daily our lives to be the instruments through which He can accomplish His purposes. And every day becomes an exciting adventure because you just don't know what God has in mind for you today. Let's pray. Father, bless now, we pray, your children. Watch over them and keep them in your love. Let them know, Lord, the glory of your presence consciously. May they become very conscious of your nearness as we walk in awe and in wonder of your greatness, of your power, and of your love for us, all demonstrated in Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for our sins. We give you thanks. Amen.
God has been looking for a man that He can use to accomplish His purposes on this earth. The apostles were more than willing to be used by the Lord. What was it that gave them certain spiritual characteristics necessary to be used by God? Pastor Chuck's book, entitled The Man God Uses, examines the book of Acts. He reveals the secret of the apostles' boldness, the five essential components of prayer, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So if you've ever wanted to accomplish more for the kingdom of God, then I encourage you to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's book. Once again, it's called The Man God Uses.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.